is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. You know, when we broadcast and do social media of the Paul McGuire Report and the video version of the Prophetic Emergency Alert, we've expanded to quite a few different networks and platforms in video and audio. And you can help us save even more souls, reach even more people for Jesus Christ by partnering with us, by helping us to spread the links and the programs. First of all, what I ask for everybody, the number one things I need is I need people who will go to God, ask God, Lord, how do you want me to participate in intercessory prayer warrior ministry role for Paul McGuire, his family, Paul McGuire Ministries in Paradise Mountain Church? How can I be an intercessory prayer warrior? Then fall on your face before God. God will bless you for it. Here's the king. Here's the thing. God will bless you for it. And then spreading our message far and wide. You'll notice that I've been sending out very important alerts. Very important alerts. You know there's an all-out war going on from the big tech companies, the internet, George Orwell, thought police, the whole deal. They are waging war against Christians, against conservatives, or their favorite game is to demonize and distort Christians and to distort them into being right-wing extremists, religious fanatics, you know, the most horrible things on the face of the planet. We need to put an end to it. And the only way we put an end to it is we stand up for what's right. You know, God has given a lot of people callings. I don't recall the Lord giving people a Chicken Little calling. Do you? No, of course not. So we've got to stand together. So I need you to stand with me. Spread our links, our messages far and wide. Let people know, for example, that at paulmcguire.us, that's paulmcguire.us, we have like 13 or 14 or 15 or something like that. We've expanded into all kinds of new social media channels, radio, audio, video, and we've deliberately selected some which have the highest likelihood of permitting free speech in the future. We didn't just choose networks based on how big they are, because some of the biggest networks are the ones that are going to take you down hard, okay? Or as Robert De Niro said, and I'm no longer a Robert De Niro fan. Sorry, Robert De Niro. But as Robert De Niro once said, some movie, forgot what it was. He's playing a gangster, of course, and he goes something to the effect that, I'm going to take you down. I'm going to take you down to Chinatown. Stupid. Guys like that kind of thing, or at least some guys do, and I'm one of the immature ones that like that kind of thing. Okay, so the key here is to utilize our spiritual weapons and physical strategies, etc., etc. It's critical because I have read the reports, the speeches, watched the videos of a whole bunch of big tech super billionaires. I've done the same thing with giant internet providers and search, and the owners of massive search engines, the owners of massive tech companies. And I've done a hyperdrive into their thinking, their reading, their plans, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, without getting into a lot of specifics, they are playing very friendly and cozy with the most powerful agencies in the world. Now, could I be talking about Spectra? What could I be talking about? Who are the most powerful agencies in the world? And those agencies are actively promoting a one-world socialist government. That's their agenda because that's what their masters the globalist elite want. Okay? So, the way they do this is by dominating the thoughts and minds of everybody, anywhere. Control their thinking. It comes right out of George Orwell's novel, 1984, in which a totalitarian government known as Big Brother took over the minds and thoughts of all the people in a dictatorship and also used mass electronic surveillance on them constantly. So they lost freedom of everything and were in danger of seeing that happen here. You see, this is not, it is a total look, this has to be said. You need to go to paulmcguire.us, write down, copy and paste electronically, spend some time doing it to do it right. You scroll down the first page of paulmcguire.us, you'll get to a page all about the Paul McGuire Report. There's a picture of me in a suit and a tie, and then you go right below that, and you're going to see about 15 social media icons. And what you're going to have to do, and it's worth it, is you click every one of those social media icons. You will know the names of many of them. You will not know the names of all of them. But the big ones, of course, you'll know the names of. And you copy the link. You copy the address. Or you meticulously write it down. Why? Because about 300,000 people were torn down off the internet in the last 2 months, and all of them had something in common. They were conservatives or had some kind of Christian viewpoint. Now, for communicating a Christian viewpoint, which is what the whole purpose of Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church is all about, our number one purpose is to minister to people spiritually through Paradise Mountain Church. Then our other purpose is to win souls to Jesus Christ, make disciples of all nations, preach the gospel, ignite the fires of revival, and then fight the spiritual battle in the cultural arena by defending the truth of the faith. That used to be a pretty common ministry. It used to be called apologetics. We don't see much of that anymore. I'm doing it, and all of those of you out there that are partnering with me, you're doing it by helping me do it. And together, we will prevail. So here's the deal. We're in the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. Ideas, thoughts, beliefs. That means, and you can figure this out, this is like a no-brainer. We need to be on as many good social media outlets, platforms, internet search engines, audio platforms, video platforms. We need to be on as many as we possibly can. It doesn't matter. So many Christians are seduced by the temporary. They think, oh, it's a big deal. I'm on a very prestigious social media platform. Look, everybody and their brother are on the same platform, so get over the privilege stuff. Okay, really, take a deep breath. I mean, who are you kidding? The reason you're never bothered is because you're not saying anything that's a threat to the devil and the powers of darkness. You start to walk up there in the front lines. And I'm talking about speaking the truth intelligently in love, all hell will break loose. I promise you that. But God's grace will be sufficient. So, I need you to back me up with spiritual warfare and prayer. The minute one of our platforms, our social media platforms, was threatened, by the next morning, early in the morning, it was still 4 a.m. or something, all over the United States, I had already talked with my webmaster, and we had already launched and expanded significantly Paul McGuire Ministries, Paradise Mountain Church platform in audio, video, social media, et cetera, et cetera. and we're going to continue to expand it. Now, some of that stuff is free. Good. But some of that stuff is very expensive because it requires all kinds of additional technologies to make it operate. You have, I'm not going to name names here, but you have the giant social media companies. You know who they are. There's three biggies. Now, they have close to, one of them has close to 1 billion people following. That's a lot of people. But what percentage of that 1 billion people love the Lord, have an interest in the Bible, have a hunger for Jesus Christ? I have no idea. But let's say it's not 50 million. Let's say it's 5 million. Maybe more. 5 million. So if I'm looking at it from a marketing strategy, evangelist eyes, is that the best area in the pond or lake to be fishing in, where there's such a minimal amount of people who are hungry for Jesus? No, that's not where a good fisherman would fish. You want to fish where people are hungry for God. Now, that may mean you'll have to put up with their excesses, but they're hungry for God. And then you send out our radio, our video, our audio, our messages, our website, and all of a sudden there is an acceleration of interest, not just based on numbers, but based on the fact that the numbers of people who are actually watching, viewing, looking at, thinking about, discussing Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church's video, audio, social media and stuff, that this is fertile ground. These are people who are hungry for God. So I would rather have 5 million of them following and be engaged with them. I'd rather have that 5 million any day of the week over 50 million of people who don't even fit the lukewarm category. I mean, you can stretch your definitions of evangelism, but you can only stress them so far. Be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. So the game plan here is we have a battle. This goes back to ancient Babylon, et cetera, between the globalist elite that originated in ancient Babylon and the 1% or the occult elite. And they are waging war against believers in Jesus Christ, people who believe in the Bible, people who have a strong belief in the Bible, people who have a strong belief in biblical morality, people who have a strong biblical worldview, people who are actually saved, people who are actually born again. These are the people, we want to reach all people, but it's important to reach the people I just mentioned because they're the fish that are hungry for the gospel message. And so that's our goal. That's our goal. Because we are dealing with what is known as a timeline. And all of you know what a timeline is. We have a timeline. We don't have an infinite time. We only have a certain amount of time to accomplish a Judeo-Christian and biblical paradigm shift in the thinking of people in America and around the world. And if we miss that window of opportunity to create a biblical shift in worldviews, then America is going to slide like a juggernaut. America is going to be a colossus of a, rabbit hole. And if you fall down that rabbit hole, you're going to twirl and you're going to smash your head on the king and the queen and all the crazy cards and Alice in Wonderland and the whole thing. Let us remember the simplicity. Jesus Christ is truth. Satan is lies and distortion and delusion. Very simple. Satan is the father of lies. He's the father of delusion and spiritual deception. So we battle with him in the arena of our minds, our thoughts, our logic, our reason, our creativity, our communication ability. And we're fighting desperately for every man and woman alive. That includes your kids, your grandkids, teachers, fellow students. Be creative and expand the list. And the name of the game is to be creative, to be anointed. Why? Because God's creative, capital C. He's the creator in the book of Genesis. Notice that God is not boring. Why would God not be boring? Because it's not loving. Do you know that if you're a bore, you're not loving? Because people who really love people, they want to win them to Jesus Christ, which means if they really love them, they're going to pour their energy, their creativity, and their talent into winning souls. And they're not going to have to worry about the byproduct of that. When people are in love with what they do, for example, winning souls, people are in love with what they do, then a passion explodes in them because they love what they do, which is winning souls, and that allows them to stomp on the accelerator and burn rubber legally and tap into all the creativity and the natural and the spiritual gifting that God has given you in this period of time we call the end of the age. Because you see, right now, events are accelerating. Prophetic signs are intensifying. So God is calling his people to rise. Under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God is calling his people to rise and occupy the land until he comes. So I'm asking you to join with me doing just that, remembering always that it's the love of God that's shed abroad in our heart that makes it possible for us to love our fellow man and fellow woman. And so I don't have to be dragged kicking and screaming to join the great spiritual battle for the hearts and souls of mankind in the history of the world. I don't have to be dragged kicking and screaming. There is an overpowering super magnetic urge just zapping me and causing every cell in my being to become part of this mission possible of reaching people for Jesus Christ by every means necessary. And then there's that sense of on fire urgency. And if you've ever had a burden for souls, and many of you have had what they call a supernatural burden for souls, you will experience that fire on, let the fire erupt burden and being on fire for winning souls and using your creative abilities for Jesus Christ and bringing people into the kingdom. You know, there is no faster way for you and I to change the fate and direction of our nation than to win souls to Jesus Christ and teach them a biblical worldview without boring them to death. That's why I wrote my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. You can get a discount on it right now if you go to paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. And you'll see pictures of all the book bundle discounts. And you can get significant savings off the books that I've written, the videos. And we have so much stuff that I think will turn you on. And you know what? I feel so. Anyone who looks at Christianity as some kind of dry, dull routine, I feel sorry for you. I lived a wild life before I got saved. Okay? I was a sinner before I got saved. I was out of control before I got saved. But when I got saved, God gave me a new nature in Christ Jesus. And I'm filled with his spirit. I'm supernaturally energized with his power. And he's given me the mind of Christ, which he's activated. And that means when I wake up in the morning, every cell in my being is syncing up with all the cells in God's being so that we can fulfill the Great Commission. Because time's running out. Don't you think that? Don't you know that time is running out? It is. But one final statement before we say goodbye. When I say time is running out, I don't say it as a depressing assessment. When I say time is running out, what I'm saying to you is we're in a time period where all the prophetic signs are accelerating. The numbers of people getting saved are accelerating. We are in a super era of prophetic signs. And what God wants out of you and me is to, number one, to be fully aware of the fact that we're in the last days, and then be fully engaged in doing what God has called us to do. And if we'll take those baby steps of faith, and we don't have to do it perfectly, and we can take the steps of faith and we can fall on our faces and not do a very good job, but God will dust us off, God will forgive us. If we'll just pick ourselves up by faith and step out by faith and do what God is telling us to do, together we can change our nation. Yeah, not just the America, change the entire nation, but the entire world, the European Union, nations on every continent. We can change our nation, we can change the world by simply being obedient to what God speaks to each of our hearts and minds and tells us what to do. Now, that's a very simple act of obedience. But if we will do that by faith, and it takes faith to do it, it takes reliance on God's power to do it. But if we'll begin to do that by faith, then what will happen is that you will see within your own heart, personality, and being, you will see yourself becoming revitalized, energized. You will see yourself grow creatively, spiritually. You will see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit being poured out on you. You will see the Spirit of God birth the gift of the Holy Spirit through you. You will see the gift of the Spirit of God be birthed through you through both natural gifts and spiritual gifts. And then you'll discover just how absolutely awesome it is for you to sync up with God and connect to His talents, abilities, gifts, and things of that nature. And your life will never be the same. But you've got to step out on faith. And step out on faith, that's when God pours out His glory and pours out His Spirit. I promise you, you'll have spiritual battles, but you will never have depression so bad that you're paralyzed. Again, I'm not saying you're not going to have battles. You will. But this time you're going to notice what it feels like to have victorious battles. You know, one of the most interesting things for any human being, you, me, anybody, is if we will do actually what God asks us to, let's be honest, the majority of us don't do what God asks us to do all the time. But if we were, so for example, God's word says, study to show thyself approved. God's word says in the book of Proverbs, I've never heard an evangelical preacher get into teaching the Word of God the way God teaches the Word of God. But in the Bible, you read in the book of Proverbs, and Proverbs is a monster. It's a machine. I don't mean that in a bad way. Proverbs is like God just devours nonsense and confusion. Proverbs is like the secret to the secret. You know, how many of you have seen the movie, the book, or read the book, or seen the person on Oprah or whatever, on The Secret? And then there's spill-offs. There's all these secrets to the secret. Well, let me cut it very short. The secret is based on legitimate scientific truths and legitimate Eastern mystical truths. Problem is, it only contains part of the truth and not the entire truth. And The Secret talks about basically how to get what you want in the universe, how to tune yourself up, how to synchronize yourself so that your EMF, electromagnetic frequency field, is in harmony with the universe, and therefore you're supposed to get healing and wealth and all these good things that happen, are supposed to happen to you. Now, there's a very subtle but all-pervasive problem in this. The subtle and all-pervasive problem is that when we compare the teaching of the secret to the teaching of the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament, the Bible tells us a different kind of secret. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, the chapter entitled The Blessings and the Curses, God promises to bless his people supernaturally. Blessed will you be when you go in, blessed will you be when you go out, and all kinds of agricultural, economic, business, military, health, agricultural, all over the place. Just enormous, enormous blessings to the man or woman of God who simply follows the word of God and does what God tells them to do. Now, but when we read Deuteronomy 28, we notice that there are conditions to getting all these blessings, which the book doesn't tell you about. The conditions are, number one, that you diligently obey all of the voice of the Lord thy God, that you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, which means that you microscopic go into section by section by section methodically, and you memorize, you own, you teach yourself to operate in the zone of obeying the word of God by faith. That's the condition of the release of supernatural blessings. It's conditional. The other condition is that you have to pledge to only worship the biblical Lord thy God. So you can only worship the biblical God, the true God. And if you choose to worship a false God, you will be cursed and your family will be cursed. So idolatry is strictly forbidden. You're not allowed to worship a false teacher, a false teaching. You're not allowed to worship any so-called god or demon entity or whatever, and perform some kind of ritual in the expectation that this false god's going to bless you. It doesn't work that way. You have to hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now notice that the occult book, the Eastern mystical book, they always fudge. They always dodge the tough truths. They want to tell you a lie, which is you can do anything you want, live any way you want, and God's going to bless you. But that's not what God tells you in his word. What God tells you in his word is that you have to obey his word and worship only the Lord thy God in order to receive the blessings. The other thing that God tells us, see, God, the stuff that you see in the contemporary culture is a cheap knockoff, a cheap counterfeit of God's blessings, the original blessings that are awesome and powerful. They don't measure up to God's blessings. So in the book of Proverbs, we are told in the book of Proverbs how to get all the wisdom and knowledge and guidance we need from God, so that we can prosper in every area of life. But once again, the prospering is not automatic. The prospering is a consequence to studying, meditating, knowing, understanding, hearkening diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, which means unto God's word. And the word is everything. Notice that God chose, of all of his modalities of communication, God chose to teach us, his people, by a book, the Word of God, Genesis to Revelation. We're taught by the book. The Word of God is a book. God knew what he was doing. So in Proverbs chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So this is imperative knowledge, because knowledge is power, and power produces all kinds of things for us. It tells us in the Word of God that we are to respond to the call of God's wisdom in our lives. So, for example, in Proverbs chapter 3, and starting in verse 20, "Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares," the marketplace. "She cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you," spirit of wisdom, the Holy Spirit. "I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you have disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When terror comes like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies." So this is a powerful promise that if we get wisdom, we get this an enormous amount of sowing and reaping going on. "The value of wisdom. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and want her for her as forbidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly." So this is an enormously powerful series of chapters. And then, of course, all of Proverbs is an enormously powerful series on wisdom, the value of wisdom, expanding your mind, guidance, the principle of financial increase. Here, let me read you something. "I had the privilege of writing in paragraph or multi-paragraph form on just about every page or just about every other page of this complete King James Bible that Jack Hayford was the executive editor on. So on an average page, you'll see about half the page is the written Word of God, which of course I didn't write. But the other half the page is what is called word wealths, and which is a translation of the words by me. Kingdom dynamics and explanations of what you're reading. So it's a complete Bible study. It's like a mini seminary all in one. So one of the teaching chapter headings I put in the Spirit-Filled Life Bible for students, I call it the Principle of Financial Increase, and I want to read it to you. In God's economy, the key to financial increase is not simply hard work, although God does bless diligence and people who faithfully use their talents. The key to financial prosperity is wrapped up in giving God our ultimate source. Economies go through cycles of inflation, recession, depression. Jobs may come and go, and unpredictable things over which we have no control may come along to affect our lives. Here God tells his people that he swore he is our source of supply, not our jobs, bank account, okay, courts, investments, parents, or government. As such, and as part of his covenant with his people, Deuteronomy 28, God promises to meet our needs if we will honor him with our regular tithes and offerings. Even if we have only a little to give, honor the Lord first and he will bless the rest. So this is the principle of financial increase here, told to us by God. So God, with his wisdom and supernatural wisdom, knew before the coronavirus, knew before the economic crisis that came before the coronavirus, knew before all the financial upheavals and financial challenges came along. God was fully cognizant of all this knowledge, and God knew about the principle of financial increase. And I want to read you again what I wrote here in the principle of financial increase. I wrote these words: in God's economy, the key to financial increase is not simply hard work, although God does bless diligence and people who faithfully use their talents. The key to financial prosperity is wrapped up in giving. God is our ultimate source. Economies go through cycles of inflation, recession, and depression. Jobs may come and go, and unpredictable things happen over which we have no control that comes along to affect our lives. Here, God tells his people that he alone is our source of supply, not our jobs, banks, bank accounts, investments, parents, or government. So we learn that God is our source. Now, why this is important is that this is the primary lesson that the Pilgrims and Puritans had to learn before they settled the colonies in America. And this is what the Pilgrims and Puritans, God gave them a revelation of this knowledge when they settled the new land of America, and when the Pilgrims and Puritans occupied the colonies, the early colonies. And so this is the key. Most young people, most young adults, most governments, most people born within the last 60 years have very little or a minimal understanding of what it really means to have a revelation that God is our source. When we study the Word of God, not TV, not contemporary music, but when we study the Word of God, we learn that in God's economy, the key to financial increase is not simply to work hard. Now, it's true that God does bless diligence and people who faithfully use their talents. Let's not be naive. But God tells us in his word that the key to financial prosperity is wrapped up in giving. This is opposite of the world system, where it's wrapped up in taking. God is our ultimate source, capital S. Economies go through cycles, like ours is now, globally. Cycles of inflation, recession, depression. Jobs may come and go. Unpredictable things happen to us, and we don't know why. And it's in this place, it's here, that God tells his people that he alone is our source, capital S, of supply. It's not our jobs, bank accounts, investments, parents or governments. That's not our ultimate supply, capital S. It's God. It's God Almighty who is our ultimate supply. And what I want to talk with you about just very briefly is you will never be free from the ups and downs until you gain the knowledge and wisdom of God. When you gain the knowledge and wisdom of God by obeying, for example, Proverbs and Deuteronomy 28, you begin to step on the blessing side of the blessing and curses equation. The Pilgrims and Puritans understood this. That's why America became the most financially prosperous nation in the history of mankind. That's why an American dream became possible, because the Pilgrims and Puritans were not playing games. They acted and functioned as if God was their source, capital S, and of course, God was and is their source. Now, in my books, I talk about how God has made this available to his people, the children of Israel, and how God has made this principle available to his people in America or any other nation that will obey God and believe God. If any nation does that, and if God's people do that, God will quantumly expand their finances, their rulership, and the increase of their wealth. It will be staggering. Why? Because you're moving out of rejecting a law of God, and you're moving into the environment or zone of walking in the laws of God by faith, and it will turn your entire life around. This is Paul McGuire. Try that. When I say try it with the intention of winning. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Put these biblical principles to action and see whether or not God performs like he said he would. And I think you'll be surprised to discover that God keeps his word, unlike man. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us.